Well, I wanted to commend everyone here for getting daylight saving time right. You made it. I wasn't so sure I was going to make it. Someone texted me last night and reminded me. Otherwise, I probably would have been late for the 8:30 Mass this morning. Or maybe there's some of you who wanted to go to 8:30 and made it to 11. The gospel today is—it's got some comic relief in there as well. I don't know if you pick up on that. I love that line where the woman says to Jesus, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket. What are you going to give to me? You don't even have a bucket." That's not really the best thing to say to Jesus, I think. Or even the apostles, right? Did someone give him something to eat? Who gave you some food? But I think it's important to step back and see the parallels in that first reading and in the gospel. In that first reading, we saw how you strike the rock and out flows water. It's kind of like pierce his side and out flows blood and water. The Israelites in Exodus are keenly aware of their thirst. They think it's a thirst for H2O. The Samaritan woman is also keenly aware of her desire for H2O, despite what Jesus tries to tell her about living water. And even when the disciples return in the second half of the gospel, they're so focused on physical food, they can't hear Jesus speaking of a greater nourishment. And the responsorial psalm responds to all three groups and to us. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Open yourself not to the murmuring and the complaining of the Israelites, or to the wounded and self-guarded argumentation of the Samaritan woman, nor to the good-willed but foolish simplicity of the apostles. But open yourself to the words of Jesus, to the word that is Jesus. In Exodus, God gives the word to Moses. Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders. Maybe they were there for encouragement or as witnesses. Take the staff with you, that staff that you used in Egypt to initiate the signs and wonders that freed the people from slavery. It's interesting. It's like use an instrument. We might say a relic. And then God says something unusual. I will be standing in front of you on the rock of Horeb. The rock will be standing on a rock. The reason why the scriptures so often refer to God as the rock of our salvation is not just because of that metaphor of God's stability or strength or durability. More importantly, it's about how God brings forth refreshment and life even from a stony rock, even from a stony heart. Harden not your hearts. Though it may take a few hard knocks from life to get our hearts to yield to him. The gospel centers around Jesus' words to the woman. If you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink. The gospel is about helping us to recognize the gift of God and Jesus' identity. His conversation with the woman begins with an imperative to her. Give me a drink. And we come to learn an amazing truth. God is thirsty. God is thirsty. He's not thirsty for H2O. Later in the gospel, Jesus clarifies, the Father seeks people to worship him in spirit and truth. Father is thirsting for true worshipers. He's thirsting for our faith. Worshiping the Father isn't something that he needs. It's exactly what you and I need. Everyone worships something. And if it's not the Holy Trinity, then it quickly turns pretty sour. There are certainly people who worship power, who worship their need to be in control, who worship money, or entertainment, or winning, or sports, or sexuality, or science, or nature, or the self. And ultimately, everyone who refuses to worship God ultimately comes under the control of Satan, who brooks no rival to his pseudo-kingdom here on this fallen earth. The first half of Jesus' conversation with the woman is about thirst and living water. Living water is the gift of God, the gift of Jesus. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit of Jesus, whom he gives to those who believe in him. His Spirit is the only true way to quench our human thirst for life, for eternal life. We thirst for that, for joy, for authentic joy, and for peace. Deep down peace. The woman is skeptical of Jesus from the beginning. First she calls him a Jew, a bit derogatively. Then she gains a little bit of respect and calls him Sir. Later on, she goes so far as to call him a prophet, maybe even Messiah. The second half of Jesus' conversation with her also begins with an imperative, actually three imperatives from Jesus. Go, call your husband, and then come back. With these commands, Jesus gets personal with the woman in a way that goes straight to the heart of her own core woundedness. About her failed marriages and her improper living arrangement. But ultimately, what's behind those failures? Why does he do that? Why does he get personal with her like that? Because he's not thirsting for just a nice acquaintance. He's thirsting for her heart and soul. He's thirsting for our hearts and souls. Are you willing to let Jesus into your own core woundedness? Are you aware of the wounds that go to your core? In moments of stress and weakness, we all tend to act out of our wounds, our insecurities. Jesus commends the woman for telling the truth about her insecurities, though she left a lot more unsaid than said. But Jesus speaks it for her. And later, that becomes the heart of her witness to the rest of the Samaritans. He told me everything I've done. Jesus knows everything we have done. And he doesn't condemn us for it. He wants to heal us of it. But we have to tell him, whether that's in prayer, in confession, in spiritual direction, to a loved one, we have to tell him. At the end of the conversation with the woman, Jesus reveals who he is. She asks about the Messiah, and he responds with something more. I am he who is speaking with you. The Greek could be translated, I am is the one speaking with you. The revelation of the Father, who seeks true worshipers, who wants to heal your woundedness, is speaking with you. The challenge of this gospel is not only to speak our woundedness to Jesus. We have to do that. We must do that. But the gospel also challenges us then, just like the woman, to go and witness to others. Despite the limitations of her past, and even her continued limited understanding of Jesus, she says to the other Samaritans, could he possibly be the Christ? She still speaks of what she's seen and heard. We Catholics struggle with that, don't we? Well, I'm not trained like a theologian. I'm not a priest. You know, I'm not a catechist. I just kind of show up. I don't really know much about the faith. Well, neither did the Samaritan woman. But she went and witnessed to what she had seen and heard. And she says to the rest of them, go and experience it for yourselves. We must thirst and hunger for an encounter with Jesus, and then let him into our weaknesses. And we must speak to others of our faith, even if it's a limited faith. We can say to others, go and experience for yourselves. And our thirsting, our hungering for worship in spirit and truth will also lead us to proclaim with the Samaritans, this is truly the Savior of the world. Truly my Savior. So here's the homework for the week. Beg the Father this week for the gift of God in your life. Please give me the gift of God. And strive to be a witness to someone of your faith, just like the Samaritan woman.